Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministries.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, victory belongs to Jesus. Victory belongs to him. Who can stand before our King? No one can, and no one will. So we thank God for just the victory and knowing who he is and the victory that Jesus brought for us on Calvary's cross. We're so thankful just to know that we didn't have the responsibility, but God took it upon himself to go to send his son, only son, to the cross, and to die for our sins so that we may be able to have a chance at eternal life. And I just want to thank everybody that will be logging in and those that are calling in and those that will even listen to the broadcast later. I thank God for each and every one of you and your support. We thank God. We've had a couple of days, a day off last week. We were off the air, and so we're back on the air with our new series, Building a Relationship with God. And so we are starting the series off with what does it mean to seek the Lord. And so we got five various topics concerning that, and we will walk through those in the next couple of weeks. And then we got some other topics that we will begin to talk about, like commitment and like consecration, and then faith and prayer and just all of those different topics. We have a long list of things that we're going to be talking about in building a relationship with God. And so we're just so thankful, because if nothing else, we want to have a firm relationship with the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we can make sure that we are in the will of God and not just doing what we think is his will, but actually doing what is the will of God. And so we're going to start off with prayer. I see Elder Poston is on the phone, and I'm going to ask him if he will lead us out in prayer, and then we will get started on our lesson. And we're going to start over. I had talked about it on last week, and I'll pick back up in just a few minutes. I'll let him pray. Elder Poston.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, oh Lord God. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather, to go over your word, and to grow and develop ourselves, oh Lord God, that we may be what you desire. Father God, we ask you to feed us. Bless us to be good ground, oh Lord God. mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. And we actually just was at a service where we kind of tag team on this topic. And so if he wants to come in there at any time, I please welcome that participation. He did a really good job at the hospital. We had many souls that were blessed by the teaching. So we're so thankful for just opportunity to minister to souls. It's my endeavor always is that, you know, to be able to be a soul winner, to be able to win souls to Christ in whatever way God has for me to do and to be used in God's kingdom. And so that's what we endeavor to do, and that's what this broadcast is about. It's about helping people to build a foundation so that they can stand sure in who God is and who they are in God, so that they will know that they are in the right place with God and they can grow, and hopefully they might start out on the sincere milk of the word, but they'll end up on the meat of the word. And I know they get some good teaching in their various churches and things like that. And this is also for those that don't know the Lord. And so we are helping with that process for them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think when I first talked about this subject a couple of weeks ago, I started from a different place because I felt like at the time that, you know, that we had already covered a foundational series that talked about salvation and things like that. But then God reminded me that I don't know who's ever on the broadcast at what time. So we all should always start at the beginning of a process and then work our way through it. And so that's what I'm doing today. I'm going to kind of go back over what I feel like the first part of when we talk about seeking God, what is the first thing, what happens with us as individuals when we begin to seek the Lord. And I know, you know, seeking God is a continual process. There's nothing that, as in our Christian walk, that we ever stop doing. It's something that we continue to continue to do throughout our Christian walk, because we always want to know more about God. We want to know God. We want to make sure that we are in the right place with God. We are doing what God is calling us to do. And so it's always a continual basis. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto us." But if we seek him first, and so in doing that, that means we're doing that on a daily basis to me. That's something we're always doing. We're always seeking God first. So I want to talk about what it means to, you know, seek God. And if we come from the foundational part of it, the foundational part of it where it talks about our original time where we begin to seek God was when we weren't saved and when we didn't know who he was, and we might have got introduced to him through the word of God, through teaching or through a witness, somebody witnessing to us or something like that, and that's when we begin to have our first encounter with God. And so if I come from that perspective, then I want to read this particular scripture, and it is Romans 3:23, because sometimes I think we forget that everybody really started at the same place when it comes to a relationship with God. Nobody started way at the top. We all started at the same place because we were all in the same circumstance after the first Adam, which was Adam, the one, the created Adam, which he, when he fell in the garden, it put all of us in the same place. So the Bible says that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all born into iniquity, shaping in iniquity and born into sin. And so we have to remember that everybody started at that place. It wasn't, I don't care what you see, how you see them today, or what you perceive them to be today, every person on earth started in the same place. And so Romans 3:23 gives us the confirmation that it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then if we look at Romans 3:10, it says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And so when we think about it from that particular place, that's where we all started at. And so when we begin to have to seek after God, we are seeking him first to get in the right place with him. And in order to get in that right place with him, we have to first recognize, and this is one of the first steps, we have to recognize that we are sinners. And then, like I said, it says, "We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so we sin against God. We blew it, and so then have a sense since the day that we were born, we've had this problem. That problem was is that we were in sin. And I don't care who your parents were, who your grandparents were, I don't care how saved they were, I don't care how they were, all of us, even them, at one point in their life, we all started at that same place, that place that says that we were a sinner and we need to be saved. And so that's the first thing we have to recognize when we talk about seeking after God, because we're seeking, when we're in that position, we are seeking a place, a void to be filled, actually, because we're empty. We're not, because if we think about when he first created us, it said he created us in his image, in the image of God, he created the male and female. So God put that part in us, but then when we fell from him, it created an empty place. And so that's why we begin to seek something. When we're in sin and we don't know which way to go, we're just living life from day to day, we're seeking something to fill a void in our life. And so that's when we first begin to notice that, you know, something's wrong and I need to know God. And so in order to know him, I got to begin to seek after him. And then the second thing is to understand that your sin demands a payment. All of our sin demanded a payment. We just can't say, oh, well, I can do so too much good and that will bring me back into the relationship with God. No, that's not it. Our sin, all of it, demanded a payment. And so when we think about that, we think about, it says Romans 6:23, it says, tells us that the wages of sin is death, physical and eternal, and that's the reading out of Amplified. For the wages of sin and death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So it is also promises that the gift of God is eternal life. In other words, Jesus Christ went to the cross for you and for me to make the payment for sin that you and I should have made. Okay, because if we'd have made it, then we'd have just died and it would have been lost. But he took our place so that we wouldn't have to be lost. So what a great love that he has for us. Romans 5:8 describes it like this. It said, but God commanded his love toward us, commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so in our longing for that relationship back with God, we begin to seek a purpose. That's what draws us into the church. The Bible says with loving kindness have we drawn thee, but it says no man cometh to the Father except he draw them. And so God is drawing us back in, so that begins our seeking after him. We're seeking a purpose, a place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of peace. And so we begin to seek after that, and when we come to the house of God, we hear the word of God, and then it draws us on into that place that we're seeking for so that we can get that refuge from God that we need. Pope, do you have anything you want to add to that?
You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Okay. In the third point I want to make is confess our sin right now to God. So if this is for anybody that is really not, that doesn't know the Lord, or if you're in a place of backslidden place, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. It says to confess means to agree with God about your sin and choose to turn away or repent of your sin. So when we think about that, when we confess, we say we confess, this means that we agree with God. We're saying, God, I am a sinner. What I'm doing is not according to the will of God, the purpose of God, the plan of God, or the word of God. So I'm saying that I am out of order when it comes to being in alignment with God. So when I confess my sin, that's what I'm saying, that, and I'm agreeing with God that I'm out of order. And I need to be put in alignment with him. And so then it says, we say, agree with God about your sin, our sin, and choose to turn away from it. So we repent of our sin. So in order for us to repent, that means we're going to turn away from what we've been used to doing, and we're going to start trying to do things God's way. And so, and I say that because, you know, I believe that salvation is progressive, and as we continue to walk with the Lord, we get better at things and we get past things that we used to couldn't get past, but now we can get past them because we have Christ in our life. And so you are choosing to step away from your old life and ways in order to follow God and live out his amazing plan for your life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, this is in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have become new. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So when the old things are passing away, That is us turning away from that sinful nature that once had us bound. Folks, you have anything to say about that? We're going to keep on going. So then we come to the place where it talks about receiving his gift of forgiveness. And this is where sometimes a lot of us get hung up on this right here, because we ask God to forgive us, but then we don't forgive ourselves. We keep bringing it back up. And when God says he forgives us, he said he remembers it no more when he forgives us. But then we haven't dealt with the guilt of the situation, and we could keep putting ourselves back in that place thinking God is putting us in condemnation when he said there is therefore no condemnation. So it's not him putting you in condemnation. You're allowing the enemy and yourself to keep you in a condemned place where God has already forgiven you and he has already sent Christ to the cross to pay the price. So I want you to keep that in remembrance right there. But it says receive his gift of forgiveness. Understand that his forgiveness is a gift. So he's giving it to you. You can't inherit it by being good enough or earn it by doing good things. You can't inherit his forgiveness. You can't pay for his forgiveness. You can't do any of that. So it's a gift. He's giving it to you. He is the only one in possession of that forgiveness in order to give it away. You can't go to the store and get it. You can't go to the church and get and buy it from the church. You can't do none of that. God is in possession of that forgiveness. And he is the only one that can give that gift to you. So that's why when you go to him and you ask him to forgive you, he's giving you the gift of forgiveness. What you have to do is accept it. That's what has to be done. So if we look at Romans 3, 21 and 22, it says, But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. And if I use a different version of it, it says, but God has a way to make people right with him without the law. And God has now shown us that way, which is the law, which the law and the prophets told us about. God makes people right with himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for all who believe in Christ because all are the same. See, we got to stop thinking that one is higher than the other or one got special privileges because of who they were or who they peered people were and all that. You can't think that. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That put everybody on the same level. I don't care who your grandmama then was. I don't care what your lineage is. I don't care about none of that. I don't care how you was in church since you was 2 years old. That don't matter. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were all the same. Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on the cross for every one of us. Every one of us. Are folks, do you have any comments concerning that?
You're fine, Elder.
All right. And then the 22nd verse says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So that's the same thing. I just read it in a different version. And so then our fifth thing is that we have to accept God's forgiveness as his gift to you and thank him for coming into your life. Surrender everything you know about you. Now, this is a good point right here. Surrender everything you know about you to everything you know about him. That's a good point. And I'm going to say it again because I thought it was really a good point. Surrender everything you know about you to everything you know about him. Well, Elder Bryson, how do I know everything about him? Well, you got to read the word. You got to be in communication with him. You got to pray. So then you can begin to surrender that old man. Because it said old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so you can begin to live everything you know about him. Romans 10 and 10 says, tell us, we believe with our hearts, and so we are made right with God. And we use our mouths to say that we believe, and so we are saved. In other words, we must believe in our hearts that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he rose from the grave. We confess the truth, that truth in our hearts and with our lives. We confess that. So, and I read it in the King James Version, that verse 10, and for with the heart of man, the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that's what we're talking about when we say accept God's forgiveness. It is a gift, and you thank him for coming into your life. You surrender everything you know about you and begin to live a life, everything about him. And so when we think about that right there, that particular life right there that we begin to surrender our life, so all some of this stuff that we continue to do that we think is God and ain't God is what we got to get into alignment with him. You know, just because somebody stepped on your feet, that don't mean that they tried to harm you anyway. They might just not knew your feet was there or something. But we get an attitude about that. That is not the will of God. And that's something really basic. Or you think, you know, maybe I was walking out of church frowned up, you know, and I'm not because I'm upset about anything. Maybe the sun was in my eye, and that's just the look I got on my face. And when I looked over at you, you thought I looked at you funny. I'm not looking at you funny. I'm trying to keep that sun out of my eyes. And so we go into these places, and we got to understand that we have those things are not God's will or purpose. That's not how Jesus, you know, they used to have a familiar saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Jesus wasn't running around looking at little stuff like that, making it big stuff. He didn't care about that. All the things that they done against Jesus, he did not have time on his journey or his purpose on the plan God had for his life to keep sitting around thinking about little bitty stuff. He kept on his divine purpose and kept going in his divine, in the way that God had purpose for him to go. That's what we need to do as well. Like our pastor preached today, he said our time is winding up. It's running out. So what are you going to do with the time you have left? If we look at the 90th chapter of Psalms, it talks about our days being numbered. What are you going to do with those days that you have left? Are you going to keep doing silly stuff? Are you going to come into a full alignment with God and begin to live out your ordained purpose, your destiny that he has for you? These are the things we want to do. So this is all of this is a part of seeking God. I know you sound like I'm saying, well, no, you're talking about salvation. We're still a part of seeking God. So then the next step is to turn your life over to him and choose to follow him from this day on. Once you have surrendered, my paper on here, sorry. Once you have recognized that you are a sinner and understand that your sin demanded payment, that you have confessed your sin right now to God, and then you have received his gift of forgiveness, and then you have accepted God's gift of forgiveness, now you have to turn your life over to him and choose to follow him from this day on. And even if you've been with the Lord for years, you've been saved since you were six, you still can turn your life over to him and begin to live even a closer walk with him. Just because we've been in saved all our life, you say, they used to say, have a say, I've been in the way all my life. Well, that sometimes that explains a whole lot. We might have really literally been in the way and not really in the way that God would have us go. They were talking about in the way that God would have them to go, but some of us have been in the way. Hey, I suppose you got anything to comment about that?
Just when you talk about seeking God, one of the things that's jumping out at me is what are we really saying when we say seek, and that's to look for. And we're really looking for the presence of God.
Yes.
To be in God's face.
Yes.
And that is making a conscious effort to fix my mind,
mm-hmm.
my attention, and my heart on things of God.
Yes.
In 1 Chronicles 22:19, it says, now set your mind and heart to seek the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
Not seeking the things that you want from God.
Exactly.
Seeking what he can do for you.
Yeah.
But seeking him just to be in his presence.
Yes. Yes.
And that, Colossians that is, 3.
Go ahead. So that's where we're going.
Well,
go ahead. That's exactly where I'm going. Next step, so let's go.
it, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. And I think that's where we allow ourselves to get confused or tricked in that situation at this point, because several of the things that we may be going through in life will cause us to seek after those things that we need, that we believe we need. What are you talking about? Like, I need a pair of shoes, or I need another job, or I need a new house, or I need another car. Those are things. And when you seek after those things, you're not seeking after God. And to put your mind and your heart focused on God. That's like the Lord gave me, and I shared with some people a couple weeks ago, and I said, have you ever stopped to think about what you're thinking about?
Yeah.
Set your mind and heart to seek the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Well, that's our next part. I just wanted to make sure I touched on this real quick, and thank you for that, because he's leading us right into our next section, and that we talked about the week before, and so he's leading us right into that. And so I'm going to say this one last thing about turning your life over to him and choose to follow him from this day on. Romans 8:38 promises us, it says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come will be able to separate me from the love of God. And then once after you've turned your life over, then begin to share your testimony with others, because that's how we keep it going. We share with others about it, because even if we think about Israel, one of their charges was to tell the next generation about the things that God has done. And so as you witness to somebody else about how God saved you and how he forgave you and how you were able to repent and how you went through this process and you're seeking, then God will be able to bless you. And he will be able to bless you. So then our next part comes to this place where it talks about seeking God. And one of the things I wanted to bring out in that particular thing is some of the steps that will cause us to be in this thought. One of the scriptures is Psalms 27:8. It says, my heart says, of you seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I see. And so we often run to God when we experience difficulty. But David, one thing about David, and this is talking about David because this is the Psalms 27:8, and this is one that David wrote. And it talks about that, how David sought God's guiding presence every day. He stayed before the Lord. When trouble came his way, he was already in God's presence and prepared to handle any test. So as believers, you know, we can call on God for our help at any time, but how short-sighted to call on God only when we need, when troubles come. And many of our problems could be avoided by and handled by merely easily seeking God for help and his direction beforehand, just always seeking his face, seeking his way and not our own way. So when we think about seeking God, go ahead.
I was saying, I was agreeing.
Oh, okay. Seeking God is an active step we take to search God out for a special answer or deeper experience with the Lord. This attitude of seeking is something God draws out of us, out from us, and he gives us many promises to encourage us to seek his face. So if we read, I'm going to read these couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to talk about something with Jesus. Proverbs 28:5 says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And so when we think about, because judgment, justice is a part of God's character, a person who follows God treats others justly. Justice begins with a concern for what is happening to others. The Christian cannot be indifferent to human suffering because God isn't. So we have, it's a lot of things when we begin to seek out the Lord. We're seeking his character as well. We're seeking how he operates and how he does things. And then if we read Psalm 69:32, it says, the humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. So, if you think seeking God is not a daily something that we should be doing, it's not. We have got to continually seek after the Lord, seek his way, seek how he does things, and begin to apply those things to our life. Once we know it, then we have to do application and begin to make it be a part of our lives. If we read Psalm 70:4, it says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And so in this short particular Psalms right here, here we go with David again. David has a plea for God to come quickly with his help. Yet even in his moment of panic, he did not forget to praise God. Now, that's one thing I've been learning as I've been reading and studying in my own thing and whatever the things I'm going through. I've noticed when I'm reading anything with David, one thing David did, you know, he'd done a whole bunch of things. But one thing David had, he had a heart for God because he always came back to God, seeking God for what he needed to turn that situation around. But he would always pray, and then he would immediately begin to praise. And God would bring him out of those situations because he always gave God praise. We have to understand the importance of praise as well, and that's a lesson coming a little ways down the line, and so I won't go too much into that. I'm going to continue to talk about seeking. And Psalms 119:45 says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. By seeking God, salvation, and forgiveness, we have the freedom from sin and the resulting oppressive and from oppressive guilt. By living God's way, we have a freedom to fulfill God's plan for our lives. Do anybody have anything they want to say about that? And then Lamentations 3:5 says, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him and to the soul that seeketh him. So it's important for us to seek after God. There's so many scriptures. I think when I was really looking up how many scriptures point to that, I think it was over 90-something scriptures that talked about seeking God and wanting to be in God's presence and wanting to, you know, to get there and just even more steps. And we're going to continue to talk about that in the coming weeks, just a couple more weeks on this particular topic. But, you know, it's the duty of man to seek God. It's our duty to seek him. If we want to know him, we got to seek after him. Does anybody have anything they want to comment about that?
Well, Isaiah 55:6, we covered this earlier. The same scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near, which correlates to the message we heard this morning about, and Jesus stood still because he was passing by. So you need to call upon him while he's near, Isaiah 55:6. And the great promise to those who seek the Lord is that he will be found.
Exactly. Thank you, Lord. He will be found. And so he ain't lost. We the ones that are lost. When we search for God, we're not searching for him like he's a lost coin and we can't find him nowhere. He's not a lost coin. He wants to be found. He said, "Seek." He said, "And he may be found." So if we seek after him, we'll find him. But I think it's in Matthew 7:7, "Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." He said, first it said, "Ask and ye shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you."
Right, and it's like what Bishop said a couple of weeks ago, hidden in plain sight. He's right there. Hidden in plain sight. But because we don't have our hearts and our minds tuned in to seek his face, to seek his presence and not his present, but his presence, then that's where he's right there and we miss him.
Yes.
So we have to desire his presence to be intimate. To be in his face. And just like we say it in the word, get out of my face. You have my face. No, God ain't saying get out of my face. He's saying come, draw nigh unto me. He said, yes. Come.
Yes.
But we get so caught up in the looking for the things that we miss him, and he's right here in front of us. And then you talked about boys earlier on, and just to tie that back in, there are boys because of circumstances and things that happen in our lives. She did a broad brush of it and said, like, when we fail in Adam, then that created the void. Okay, so we have different things in our lives that create voids because it's really the enemy set up from the time we're born trying to defeat us. So we go through life, and then whether we subconsciously know it or not know it, most of us, if we take time to think about it, there may be a time in our life, especially before you found the Lord, before the Lord found you, that there was a void there. And so with that void, there's an emptiness, a not fulfilled space, but it's longing to be filled. It's like longing to be comforted, longing to be out of pain, longing to be loved and cared for, the emptiness of a void, meaning there's nothing there, but there's a desire for that void to be filled. And really the only thing that can fill that void to the satisfaction of our soul is God and his Spirit. But what we do, because we haven't got to that point, we begin to seek after the presence that God has given us, and we think that if I get the car, I'm going to be fulfilled until we get the car, and then we got to pay the note. And then when we get to the car and we got to pay the note, then we got to pay for the maintenance. And then all of a sudden that thing that we thought was going to fill our void is not a blessing of the Lord, because then we'll say the blessing of the Lord make us rich and have no sorrow, but I ain't got the money for the car note or the maintenance. So we were going after a thing to fill the void instead of going after God who could fill the void, just like the woman at the well. She came, he said, drink of the water I have and you'll never thirst again. She had tried to fill that void with all of these men.
Yeah.
Not being successful. But when she had an encounter with God, and then check this out, at the well, where was she? She was in God's presence face to face.
Face to face.
And he filled that void. So we got to understand that's what we have to go after. We have to go after his presence. And it ain't his presence while I see him passing on the bus, but I want to be in his presence all the time. So then I got to get my mind and my heart right, and then I have to be careful not to allow. They taught us guard your gates, because if your gates are wide open, then you are allowing things to come in that will prevent or hinder you from seeking God's face. What you're listening to, what you're looking at, what you're saying, what you're digesting, what you're speaking. Oh, and that's a whole other subject right there. We speak, we say, we confuse Jesus. We schizophrenic, Lord. We speak in one thing. We speak in faith, then we doubt, and then we speak in complaining. We move God or do it, then we murmur complaint. That's a whole other situation, but we're going to maybe catch that later. But we're talking about seeking the face and being in the presence of God. And it's for me, I'll tell you, once you allow God to begin to fill those voids, then it no longer becomes, she don't love me. He don't love me. Why don't they talk to me? Why come I? None of that matters, because I'm in the presence of God.
In the presence of God.
And in the presence of God, there's what? Fullness?
Fullness of joy.
There you go. Full. That means being full. Nothing full.
Yeah.
Nothing empty.
Yeah. If you want to be whole, get into the presence of God. One thing, and I want to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. I want to go back to about a couple of things, and we're going to get back to setting your mind, because that was important when you talked about that. One thing that in our steps for seeking God is sometimes we got to separate ourselves. We got to follow the example that Jesus did. In Matthew 14:23, it says, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone." And sometimes we got to set ourselves aside and set ourselves to really begin to talk to God and begin to seek after him and get to understand who he is. It says seeking solitude was an important priority for Jesus. It says he had room in his busy schedule to be alone with the Father. Spending time with God in prayer nurtures a vital relationship with Him and equips us to meet life's challenges and struggles.
Yes.
So if you really want to be able to handle life's challenges and struggles, you need to get some alone time with God and then develop
yes.
a discipline of spending time alone with God. It will help you grow spiritually and become more and more like Christ. Because the thing about it is, it's wonderful to be in corporate prayer. It's wonderful to be in corporate praise. But when you really want to get intimate, it's one-on-one.
There you go.
You don't get married and then have five or six people in the marriage. You see what I'm saying? It's you and the spouse. So it's
right.
those two people, and of course God is in there with y'all, but that is the intimate relationship. That's how it was set up. It's not you and five or six others. Like, you know, what is it? It's a show that comes on and says, I think it's one man and then about three or four of the sisters all married to this one man. No, that ain't how, that's not how it goes. When you want to have an intimate relationship with God, it's you and God. So that
right.
means you got to learn how to get to God, get that alone place so that you can hear from God. And it's not only you getting alone with God and telling Him about all the stuff you need and want. It's
right.
about getting yourself in position to hear from God, because you will never know what your purpose and destiny is if you don't be quiet and listen. So sometimes you got to separate yourself. I know you want to pray with your prayer warrior, your prayer partner, and all like that, but you better learn how to get to God on your own.
Yes.
I never forget the
yes.
church mother. I remember Mother Gwen and Mother Manlock and them. They taught us how to get down there and pray and get to God for ourselves. Because sometimes you ain't got time to call nobody.
Right.
To touch and agree with you. You got to go for it on your own.
Right.
You might be having a midnight situation. They might be asleep.
Right.
So you got to go to God on your own. Learn how to reach heaven for you.
Right.
Got to get that alone time. That's what Jesus, He went on by Himself so He could get to God and see, because He had to have that. He had to know where, you know, he had an important task before Him. He had purpose. He had destiny. And He couldn't have done that just staying amongst the multitude. He went to God and got alone and got recharged.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That was something right there. Then the
right.
next
I mean,
thing
how
is.
How much more?
Well, go ahead.
Let me tag this up. How much more? I don't know about that. But how powerful is it to be able to say, I know the Lord. I know my Lord.
Yeah.
Jesus, Son of David, for myself.
Yeah.
Not mama, and not grandmama, but I know.
I know the Lord.
I'm not telling you what somebody told me. I'm telling you what I know.
And have experienced.
What I know.
That's a good place to be in. Matter of fact, that's the place to be in. You're talking about in His presence.
Because when you have that, then those times, if you be honest, well, I don't know about y'all, but me, there are times when I'm physically alone, and maybe I'm coming home from work just to drive, beat down, you know, just exhausted, you know. And the enemy is attacking my mind with all this negative stuff. But then when I'm by myself, if I can begin to think about my Lord, my Savior, what God says about the situation, like you said, I don't have to wait. I don't have to call Mother so-and-so. But, you know, and it's good that you know that Mother knows Him. But, I mean, there's no comparison for you knowing
Him. Right.
I mean, I thank God Elder Bryson know him. But, you know, I need to know him.
Okay. That's the truth.
Not based on what she told me, but based on what I know, what I've experienced. And so some of these things that we go through, it ain't that, you know, you being punished. It's really God drawing you. Now, the Bible says, well, love and kindness have I drawn you. But people think that love and kindness is going to be sunshine and roses and kumbaya. But what we fail to realize, the rules, regulations, guidelines, boundaries, all of those things equate to love. Accountability equates to love. Because if I care about something, then I'm going to have those things in place to protect what I care about. That means I love it. It means something to me. Versus you can do whatever you want to do. But the way that happens, the way you get to understand that is because when you begin to seek the Lord, seek, look for, search out, purpose in my mind, in my heart, I'm going after him. Not I'll be at church on Sunday, but every moment that I'm awake, even when I'm asleep, Lord, let my subconscious be seeking your face. And I'm making a conscious effort. When I can be driving and thinking about the Lord. I can go to Walmart and be thinking about the Lord. And I mean, and this is kind of funny. I mean, there was a time when money was funny, and then I went into Walmart and I'm looking at this loaf of bread and I'm looking at this loaf of bread. And then it was like something came to me because I was like, well, I don't really have the money. I better get the cheaper loaf of bread. And then some said, now surely you can believe him for a dollar. Now, y'all may not get that, but my point is, you know, at what point am I going to really believe God for what I need? Now, that comes with knowing who he is, knowing what he said, what he promised to me. How do I know him? By his words. How do I get his words? By reading his words. But to be in his presence, to seek him. Yeah. Like I asked my son when I was teaching him about the Lord, I would ask him a question. Do you know who Jesus is? Yeah, I know who Jesus is. I said, do you know who Jesus is? He said, yes, I know who Jesus is. I said, you know who Jesus is? Yeah, I know who Jesus is. I said, well, let me ask you another question. Do you know him?
That's it.
A lot of people know who he is, but they don't know him. Because they haven't sought out his presence.
Exactly.
A lot of you, I could come in the room with a name tag on, and they can say, do you know Anthony? Oh, yeah, I know Anthony. That's him right there. They know who Anthony, but they don't know who I am. They don't know Anthony. They know who Anthony is, but they don't know Anthony. Is that you follow me?
Yes.
When I say that, that means that personal relationship.
That personal relationship. When you think about in the Bible when the Lord would say, and he knew his wife, he was getting ready to have a personal relationship with her. So when we say we know God, do we have that personal, intimate relationship with him?
Right.
So then our next thing is, that was really good. Our next thing is prepare your heart. Hosea 10 and 12 says, sow to yourself in righteousness. Break up the fallow ground. Now, let me read in the King James verse. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And he's talking about prepare your heart to receive the word. We got to prepare ourselves. And so one thing about Hosea in his writings, he repeatedly uses these kind of illustrations of a plow field and things like that, about crops and things like that. And so here he envisions a plow field, earth that is ready to receive seed. It is no longer stony and hard. So if we think about farmers, when they get ready to get the ground ready to plant seed, they have to go till the ground. They have to break it up and get it ready so they can plant the seed down, and then the ground is able to receive the seed. And Jesus used this example as it talked about the word of God. He said there was some on stony ground, some on thorny ground, and then some went on good ground. The good ground is that has already been broken up, that fallow ground that has been broken up and is ready to receive the word.
All right.
That's what it is. And so it says that you can break up the unplowed ground of your heart by acknowledging your sins and receiving God's forgiveness and guidance. That's what it says. So we have to be able to prepare our heart. And one of my, I have a favorite scripture. It talks about, you know, with my whole heart, my whole heart I've sought thee. And this is one of my favorite songs. It's a song, I think it was Keith Pringle and even Thomas Whitfield sung it. And it says, with my whole heart, I will serve, I will bless you. I will serve you, precious God, precious Lord. And so we have to break up the ground in our heart. We have to turn that stony heart to flesh. Ezekiel talks about that, turning the stony heart to flesh. And so then we're allowing God to put that seed, and when the word comes out, it gets on that good ground, and we can absorb it, and then we can begin to see the seed begin to plow up. The Bible said, Paul said one thing. He said, I planted. He said, Apollo's water, but God gave the increase. When the word is planted in you, somebody going to come along and water, and then God is going to begin to manifest the increase of that word that you received in your life. By the deeds you start doing, the things you turn around, your ways that you give up that were your ways, and you begin to operate in God's way. That is all a part of that process.
Mm-hmm.
Then our next thing is, and this is our third thing, and I think it'll probably be our final thing, and we'll move on to something else next week, but we want to try to exhaust this part of it. It says, set your mind on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about this a few minutes ago in several scriptures that he read, but it said, this is Psalms 119, 10, and 15. It says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. And the 15th verse says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Mm. And so what God is saying even in that is that seeking involves an act of separation, a separation physically, spiritually, and mentally. And then the rewards of seeking God are great.
You need to read 34 and 10.
And then if you read 34 and 10, it says this. It says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And so at first, we may question David's statement here because we seem to lack many good things, but this is not a blanket promise that all Christians will have everything they want. Instead, this is David's praise for God's goodness. All those who call upon the Lord in their need will be answered, sometimes in unexpected ways.
Okay, check this out. In breaking this down, it says, but they that seek the Lord, you seeking the Lord, not the any good thing. That
right,
is
the Lord.
It comes from seeking the Lord. But see, we get it twisted up because the enemy would have us start seeking the thing. But it says, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Any good
not
thing.
Not that you seeking those things, but you seeking the Lord. And be honest, he knows the integrity of your heart. If you really seeking him, be honest. Don't try to play.
You can't seek
you
God.
Your game don't work on God.
He is looking at the heart. The Bible says that man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks at your heart. So he knows the heart of man. He knows all of that intent.
Right.
So you can't game God.
Mm-mm. You know who tried to game work game on him last time? And what happened to him?
He gone and cast him out, and he took a third of them jokers with him.
He got the boot. He thought he had game, but his game wasn't no good.
Mm-mm.
Anyway,
you can't buy it. It ain't on the shelf at the store. You got to humbly submit yourself and seek God.
Yeah, and mean it.
And mean it. Set your mind on him. What is it? Isaiah 26:3 where it says, thou will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to begin to really seek God and set your mind on him. You read it early in Colossians. It says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We got to
right.
set our mind on Christ. It also tells us, I think this is in Colossians as well, where it says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Some of your little nasty ways ain't Christ's mind.
Mm.
So what you thinking, if you got a plot and plan how you going to do something evil to somebody or how you going to avoid somebody, how you going to do this. I used to have a friend and she was always plotting and planning. Well, I'm going to do that. To me, I told her, I said, girl, that's too much time to be thinking about how you going to plot and plan. That is not the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
God wants us to be just as forgiving as he is.
Yes.
If we're going to seek after him and we're going to give up our way for his way, we got to turn some things around. And the good thing about it is God is patient with us, and he's given us the opportunity to do it. If we got a heart to do it, he'll bless us.
Yes.
Seeking while he yet may be found. And we're getting close to our time. We got like 3 minutes or so, a little left. We might have a little time we can get in there. But what we want to do is make sure that those that don't know the Lord in the pardoning of your sin, that you seeking that in this lesson today, we've been seeking him on your behalf. We've been telling you how to seek God and what you need to do and the steps you need to take. And so if you would like to give your life to the Lord today, he is ready to accept you. He is ready to forgive you. If you want to turn from your ways and turn from your sins and repent, he is ready to receive you. It's a wonderful family to be in. You'll never experience a greater love than the love that Christ has for you.
Mm-hmm.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What love do we have with him? So if you feel like you don't know what love is, come on into this family.
Yes.
He's got plenty of love for you. So if you would repeat this prayer after me. It says, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son, and I believe he died for my sin, and that you raised him from the dead. Lord, I want to trust in you and my Savior to follow him as my Lord. And from this day forward, guide my life and help me to do your will. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. I believe if you repeated that prayer with me as best you could, I believe that you are saved today and that you are now a part of the family of God. You've been adopted in. One thing about adoption is he chose you. You didn't choose him. And what a place to be in. And so we're just so thankful for the broadcast today. I hope that the words that were spoken, the teaching was a blessing to you all. And I hope that you will go and find you a good Bible-believing teaching church so that you continue to grow on your walk with the Lord. Elder Poston, will you have our final words and pray us on out?
Yes, Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, O Lord God. We thank you, God, for your word, for what you're sending to us, what you're teaching us, how you're developing us, how you're molding and making us into what you desire for us to be, O Lord God. We pray, O Lord God, that we're good ground, Lord God, that your word will go into us and produce fruit to be pleasant in our sight, O Lord God. Lord God, we pray that you give us the aptitude and your wisdom to apply your word to our life in every aspect of our life, O Lord God, that we may walk upright before you, O Lord God, that you will be pleased with the way we walk and the way we talk and the way we speak and the things that we say and do, O Lord God, because it is in our heart's desire, O God, to be in your presence, to seek your face, O Lord God. Help us, O Lord God, find our way to you, Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, O God. God, I pray a special blessing on every person that may hear the words that were spoken on this broadcast, God. I pray, O Lord God, that it would lift up the bowed down head and mend the broken heart and encourage somebody that may be wondering what and how they're going to make it, O Lord God. I pray that they would hear your voice, O Lord God, to let them know that they can make it if they seek your face, God. Seek to be in your presence, Lord God. We thank you. We praise you. We're humbled, God, and we're grateful that you would give us this opportunity. In the mighty name of Jesus, now save, set free, and deliver. And let it be for your glory, God. We pray, we thank you, we magnify you, God. Yeah. In Jesus' name.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Bless your name. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. We will see you back here next week on what? The Prospering Soul. God bless you all.